This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Oh, a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. Their students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support, beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. Go to maryville.edu. Well, we are thrilled on the Hollywood Casino Press Box that once a week during the baseball season from now to October, we will visit with the Hall of Famer Rick Hummel, who joins us now. Kamish, welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
Thank you, sir. You didn't mention November now. Is that the postseason is off now?
That's an interesting point. We're going to have to get some more money in the budget to afford them for the World Series coverage. Yes. Lakeside Roofing is our sponsor of the commission, I should say. First of all, you're one of the few people where I've kind of joked around and said, how many times can you go to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? You're actually not in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, one of your favorite cities.
Right. I'll be there right around, I think there's a trip there, Labor Day. I'll be there when the Steelers are ready to start playing and Penn State is starting to play. It's an exciting time in Pittsburgh then.
Have you ever had a chance while you're covering baseball to catch one of those games in the fall?
I have not. Usually when the Pirates are home, those other teams are not.
Okay.
The football stadium is just down the street there. I think they'd run into trouble in postseason play maybe sometimes, but the Pirates are hardly ever in postseason play, so not an issue. You know, a football stadium is just about 3 blocks away, so it's the parking would be a problem.
Yeah, and now we're in an era where all these nice hotels are built right next to stadiums, but in Pittsburgh, that has to be a record. That one hotel there, I mean, it's literally like six steps, right?
Well, the Residence Inn is the closest one there. The Spring Hill Suites is closer, too, but one hotel, the first one I mentioned, is from the door of the hotel to the press box entrance, 140 steps.
Wow, that's unbelievable. All right, lot to discuss. Adam Wainwright yesterday, you saw him a little bit in the spring. Are you still bullish on him, or are you pretty concerned?
I'm open-minded. As he pointed out yesterday, the ball was hard to grip when it was so cold, but Chris Archer didn't seem to have any trouble with it. He would have been pitching at Tampa for most of his career, so Waino was a little bit too nitpicky yesterday, and I understand when you don't throw 90 miles an hour anymore, you have to be nitpicky to a large degree. But they're darn lucky they didn't allow more runs than they did. You know, I walked four guys, and he walked three in the first inning, and they all scored. You just can't do that.
Another veteran with a really good resume is Andrew Miller, who didn't get anybody out. The ERA sitting at 9, first week of the season. What's your take on him so far?
Well, I believe him when he says he feels fine, but he's in the same boat, really. He hasn't been challenging hitters as much as he should have been, or at least pitching to getting behind too many guys. Braun the other day, Dickerson yesterday, guys he's supposed to get out. And he wasn't real good this spring, so there is that concern in my mind. But when he says he feels good, his knee feels fine, his arm feels fine, I'll chalk that off to the first week, I guess, and presume it's going to get better.
What's your take on Marcell Ozuna at this stage?
I guess he's kind of a lightning rod. He hasn't hit for any power yet. His average of .238 is like there's only like three guys higher than him. You know, I don't know that lay this all on him. Molina's hitting 50. Carpenter's under 200. The Young is .227. The only guys who hit are Goldschmidt and Wong, and a couple guys. You know, O'Neill and Martinez have done good work off the bench, and Munoz too, but they haven't hit really at all, and Ozuna's not striking out any more than anybody else is. Now, he had a couple misadventures in the field, but he made one nice play in Milwaukee the other day. So I haven't seen the ball explode off his bat, though. I guess that's what people are concerned about, and we have to keep an eye on that. His arm is never going to be great.
Yeah, how would you characterize his arm? Is it improved from last year, or what do you think?
It's improved from last year, and it's adequate at best right now, but that's a lot of guys play left field adequate at best. If you put up numbers, it doesn't matter much how your arm is out there. If you put up numbers, you know, 30, 90, that's what they got them for.
So in the seventh inning yesterday, right fielder Dexter Fowler took a pitch off his back foot, and he'll get x-rays. Any take on that? And if he's out for a while, I guess there's a couple of good options in, to replace him.
Oh, yeah, they're covered with O'Neill and Martinez both. Even Munoz could play out there. They're going to have, if he's out for 2 or 3 days, and Jerko's back on the club, and you, if you have to disable Fowler, even you could, or disable, put him on the injured list, I guess is the new term now, but I don't think it's that bad. But if he's not able to run for a couple, 3 days, we'll keep him out till, like, let's say Saturday, you know, because there's an off day today. There's an off day Friday or Thursday, whenever, if it rains Thursday, it'll be, they'll play, they'll be off Thursday and play Friday, but he'll have time to get healed up, and I like O'Neill out there, and you like Martinez out there too, but I'm tempted to ride him at the end of the game when it's not an easy feat to go in there knowing you're going to have to be facing Hader or Vasquez, but he's had some pretty good at-bats. He almost homered off Hader the other day, and he had a big double off Vasquez yesterday, so there's not many guys on their bench or in the league who can go up against those guys in the ninth inning and get those kinds of at-bats.
So what happens if Fowler doesn't go on the injured list and Jed Jerko is activated on Thursday like anticipated? Who goes down? Robinson?
Yeah, he hasn't really played. He pinch hit a couple times. I mean, Munoz has been in the game, but they used Robinson as an early pinch hitter yesterday. And I think I kind of like him a little bit. I think there's room for him on their team, certainly this year and in other years. He does strike out a lot, but that doesn't exactly make him the Lone Ranger here in this club.
Yeah, that's a good point. They're on pace for 371 strikeouts. It would be the most by far in a month in Major League Baseball history. 64 through 5 is insane. That's not going to change, I guess.
Well, I think it might, although they really, other than Hader, I mean, haven't faced any veteran strikeout-type pitchers now. I preface that, or add to that by saying that Burns is not a veteran, but he is a strikeout pitcher. He struck out 12 in 5 innings the other day, and Woodruff has got very good stuff too. But some of those other guys, Freddie Peralta is not a strikeout guy, and Archer is a strikeout guy yesterday. So they faced two or three guys who can strike you out. But you can't. I mean, they averaged 8.5 a game last year, and that's really high. When you're talking about 13 a game, now there was a couple extra innings played yesterday, but they had 15 through 9. That's you cannot win that way. As Mike Schilte said the other day, the team that has more productive outs than the other team generally wins. Well, the Cardinals have had almost no productive outs. Nothing happens if you strike out.
Cardinals do have some big names in the bullpen, but it's the guys that maybe you didn't have or don't have as much fanfare as some of the others who have really stepped up. I mean, Brebbia, Leon, and Gant all sitting there with perfect ERAs, all look great.
Well, Leon hasn't been scored on all year. He had 8 scoreless outings in the spring, too, after that nerve issue he had last year was finally dealt with and cured. He had a pretty good year with Toronto his last half of the year in 2017. I'm still a little surprised by that because he was pretty much dead in the water last year, but he's been good. Brebbia has been good, and Gant is opening some eyes here when he's pitched in some tight spots. Even yesterday, he's got to save that game. It's a double play to end it. He pitched a couple critical innings to the one game they won before that. I mean, only 2 games they've won, John Gant has had a win and a save.
What do you think Colton Wong's stats are going to look like at the end of the season?
I don't know. You almost hope they don't look like 20 home runs because that means he's trying to hit them again. I think I like him getting on base as often as he has. He's stolen a couple bags. He's had some good long counts. He's had some hits besides home runs. He's playing great in the field. This is as good a week as he's had for a while. And the biggest issue with him is just keeping him in the lineup. And he'll stay in the lineup if he's healthy, but he has to stay healthy. And so far, there's no argument there.
I tweeted out that I thought that Matt Carpenter got kind of a quick ejection and that maybe umpires have too much power. Then I got a text from my friend Ron Culpa, the umpire, and he said, no, he deserved it. What'd you think?
Well, sometimes there's certain things that they say, like the third base umpire was the guy who rang him up And when a player says, oh, your buddy blanked me too, you know, well, that gets the home plate umpire's attention too. They don't want their confreres criticized either, let alone themselves. But that there was a magic word that was said, or a magic comparison, as it were, that, you know, and one umpire had messed with Carpenter, and you're gone. That's automatic with those guys. You check a shot at any umpire, let alone the one who called the play.
So do you think 5 or 6 years from now we're going to be saying Paul Goldschmidt's one of the great Cardinals of all time?
That's a good question. His history suggests that he's going to be, let's say he hits 150 home runs in the next 5 years. Count this year, it'd be 6 years, I guess, right? 180 home runs. And that would, and that's probably, you know, 700 RBIs. Yeah, I mean, and as good a defense as he plays, he missed a ball from Wong the other day because I think Wong surprised him by where he threw the ball from. You know, I mean, he throws it from every angle and he just kind of jumped up on Paul. But yeah, he's been everything, he's worth every penny so far. He and Wong have kept this team afloat. There have been a couple other big hits. Martinez and DeYoung had a big home run the other day, but there's three or four guys that have done nothing.
The Milwaukee Brewers win again. Now, the Yelich homer streak ends, but he did get the big double as they beat the Reds last night. You've seen the Brewers up close and personal. I think they're going to defend their title pretty well, aren't they?
Well, I wonder if they're going to be in the market to go after Kimbrel, since they don't have Corey Knebel, their great right-handed reliever for this season. He's going to have Tommy John surgery, I think, tomorrow. And Hader, you just can't ride him every other day like they have so far. He's had three saves in five games, but you can't pitch him 80 games, I don't think, at that high-octane level. The starting pitching is still questionable. They haven't had very many starters go deep. They might get Jimmy Nelson back, who was their best guy before he hurt his shoulder about a year and a half ago, so there's something. But I don't like their pitching very much. And we'll see how Yelich does when Ryan Braun cools off a little bit. Ryan Braun's hot right now, but he hit 260 last year, and if he's going to hit 260 again at his age, which I wouldn't be surprised, Yelich is not going to see much to hit anymore. But Braun has been hot, so they have to respect him right now.
What else is jumping out at you around the league? Cubs 1-3, Seattle's 5-1. Anything jumping out at you in Major League Baseball?
Oh, Boston. Boston is awful right now. What are they, 1-4? Let's see here. 1-4. They got shut out yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
I don't know. I know the Red Sox are a popular team, but you would think the World Series champions will be treated a little better schedule-wise. You go back a week ago Sunday, they took off for Arizona to play the Cubs, two exhibition games at the Cubs Park, and they had 17,000 people, and everything was fine. It got sorted. That's Monday and Tuesday of last week. Then they went to Seattle and played four games. Then they are in Oakland playing four games. Then they return to Arizona to play three games against the Diamondbacks this weekend. So the world champions will be on a two-week trip before they even play a home game. Usually the champs are treated better than that by the schedule makers.
Good stuff, Kamish. We appreciate your time. We will talk next week, sir.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
All right. That is the great Rick Hummel, brought to you by Lakeside Roofing. Lakeside Roofing, established in 1972, has a solid reputation for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside Roofing's reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive prices. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide excellent installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business. In Illinois, call 618-344-2800. In Missouri, call 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Some texts, some phone calls when we come back. Martin and Brad Soderberg coming up at 11.